Jesus paid it all. He didn't pay most of it, some of it. He paid it all. Whatever baggage we come dragging in, he paid for that. We can release that. What a great song. What a great message. What a great God we serve. Welcome to Wylie United Methodist Church this morning. If you are visiting with us this morning, I especially want to welcome you. Glad that you are spending your Sunday morning worshiping with us. There's a blue card I invite you to see in the seat pocket in front of you. Would love to invite you to fill that out and leave that. You can just leave that in your seat. Let us know you were here. You're not required to do that by any means, but would love to know that you were here. There's a place there. If you want to be added to our email list, you can put your email. And please check the box so we know that you actually want to be on our email list. If you would, turn with me to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Anybody else love Philippians besides me? Philippians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Can we read that together? Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, and I would add sisters in there, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the power of your word, the truth of your word. Holy Spirit, you are invited here. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be talking a little bit about brains today. I wanted to, some of you, I'll look around the room, some of you guys, I may have to talk a little slower for you today. We're going to be talking about brains. I ran across this video a few years ago. Cheryl and I have played this video when we've done some marriage retreats. It kind of talks a little bit about the different. Did you know men and women, our brains are different? Did you know that? Women are generally wrong and men are generally right. Man, I'm glad none of y'all have some of that fruit that Teresa had earlier. Y'all be throwing that stuff at me this morning. Now, listen to this. This comes from he's actually an ex-pastor, Christian comedian, but also does some marriage enrichment. His name is Mark Gunger. Listen to this video.
Men's brains are very unique. Men's brains are made up of little boxes. And we have a box for everything. We've got a box for the car. We've got a box for the money. We've got a box for the job. We got a box for you. We got a box for the kids. We got a box for your mother somewhere in the basement. We got boxes everywhere. And the rule is, the boxes don't touch. When a man discusses a particular subject, we go to that particular box, we pull that box out, we open the box, we discuss only what is in that box. All right? And then we close the box and put it away, being very, very careful not to touch any other boxes. Now, women's brains are very, very different from men's brains. Women's brains are made up of a big ball of wire. And everything is connected to everything. The money's connected to the car's connected to your job, and your kids are connected to your mother, and everything's connected to everything. And it's like... Now, men, we have a box in our brain that most women are not aware of. This particular box has nothing in it.
It's true. It's true.
In fact, we call it the nothing box. And of all the boxes a man has in his brain, the nothing box is our favorite box. If a man has a chance, he'll go to his nothing box every time.
Y'all know that's all true, right? You know it is. I saw a lot of heads bobbing on that. We continue the sermon series, Jesus, Lord of 2017. Today's sermon is Lord of My Thoughts, Lord of My Thoughts. Now, as I've said the last couple of weeks, that Lord, I mean, there's a lot of ways we can define Lord, very eloquent theological ways, but I like to just say it means He's the boss. He's the boss. And we can make Him the boss of different components of our lives while excluding Him from being Lord or boss in other areas of our lives. Today, our thoughts. So I want to quickly hit two things. If we don't understand these first two points, then the rest of this message today will mean nothing. The first thing we need to understand, if Jesus is to be Lord of our thoughts, first we must understand that Jesus is absolute truth. Jesus is absolute truth. He is truth. In fact, I was looking through this. I kind of was, as I was studying for this message today, 78 times, just in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the four Gospels, Jesus started off, as He spoke, He started off with this: I tell you the truth. 78 times. Jesus is recording, is saying, I tell you the truth, because if it came out of His mouth, it was truth. In fact, when He's explaining to His disciples that He's got to go before them, that He's going to die, He's going to be resurrected, He's going to ascend to the Father, and He's going to make a place for them, prepare a place for them, and they don't understand, and they're like, how do we know the way? And Jesus responds and says, I'm the way and the truth. And the life, no one comes to the Father except through me. So we have to understand now. If first of all, if you don't believe that God has spoken through His Word, then really nothing else I have to say to you today is going to have any meaning. I mean, we either have to trust God's Word that He has spoken or not. And if we do, then these things came from the mouth of Jesus. I am the way and the truth. I tell you the truth, He says, 78 times recorded in the four Gospels. Now, so we have to understand that when we're seeking truth, what we're really seeking is Jesus, because He is the truth. Now, in our world today, truth is relative to our culture today. Truth is, we discover truth. It's invented daily. Depending on the latest opinion poll and who's in political power and what, that's how truth is advanced today. But Jesus said, no, I am the truth. And so we have to understand that if we're going to be seeking truth, we have to seek Jesus. Now, secondly, if Jesus is to be Lord of our thoughts, then secondly, we must understand that we also have an enemy that is in search of our minds. He wants to impact our minds. Now, again, if we believe, I've actually run across Christians that don't believe in the devil. Now, you know, then we don't believe in the Bible and we don't believe the words of Christ. Because listen to what Jesus said. Now, he is actually saying this to the church, to the Jewish church, to the leaders that are doubting him. And Jesus said to them, he says to us, you belong to your father the devil and you want to carry out your father's desires. So Jesus is speaking about the devil. Jesus did battle with the devil in the wilderness. So if we don't believe in the devil, then we don't believe in the Bible. And we don't believe in that Jesus, the things that he said. Jesus said, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan has been a deceiver, a liar, from the very beginning. Adam and Eve, what does he do? God lays out what they are. They have free reign in the garden, but just don't eat of this tree. And he gives them a reason why. And Satan comes in and he disputes that. No, that's not what God said. He doesn't want you to do that because he doesn't want you to be like him. So he was a deceiver from the very beginning. And guess what, church? He's still in the deceiving business. Do we understand? Take your head if you understand that. We have a Jesus, we have a God who is, by very nature, he is truth. And we have an enemy who by very nature is a deceiver, a liar, who wants to deceive us and dispute everything God will say to us. So, if we get that, we have to understand, church, that Satan, it's not like what we see on these horror movies, which I don't watch, by the way. If you watch horror movies, please don't watch that stuff. Don't put that filth in your mind. But I know what they are, and it's not this woo. It's like he works in our thoughts. He works subtly. He is sneaky, and he'll say things to us like, "You're worthless, Jeff Hatcher." I won't even say the word that he was putting in my mind, but several years ago I got through. Did you know your pastor struggled? Where's Jim? Thank you for praying for us today, Jim, because yeah, man, the battle is real for all of us. This was several years ago. I went home on a Sunday afternoon, and the enemy was just pouncing on me. He's like, and there was this word. I don't use this word, and I'm not going to use it here, but there was this word, and it starts with an S, and it was just like, you... That's what I was hearing right up here. Use the S word. Young people use it like it was just, you know, like thee or something. But I don't like that word. But that's what was coming to my mind. It's like you, as a pastor, as a husband, as a man. It was just, and I turned to Cheryl and I looked at her. We're sitting there watching TV, and I looked at her and I go, And I said the word, and she went, "What?" And I have learned over the years that is the work of the enemy. He wants to convince us that we are worthless. He wants to convince us, or maybe he wants to convince us that we're somebody. You know, it works both directions. All sorts of lies, because he is the father of lies. Lies are his native tongue, but we have a God. And so we have, greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. And so I've learned that when those thoughts come to my mind, any sort of thoughts that I know are not pleasing to God, that I know are not from the Lord, in the name of Jesus, I reject that. I reject that lie. So we have to understand that there is a battle for our mind. There is a battle for our thoughts, church. So how do we make Jesus Lord of our thoughts? I've got four points here. And these are not just, you know, pretty little sermon points. This is real world stuff, guys. This is the battle I promise you, there's not one of us in this room that are excluded from this war for our thoughts and our mind. Every single one of us, he wants. He came after Jesus. You think he won't come after you? Number one, how do we make Jesus Lord of our thoughts? Continually put godly things in your mind. continually put godly things in your mind. Now listen, it's throughout Scripture. I could have quoted Scripture all day long on this, but I'll just give you two or three here. Colossians 3, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, and where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And so as I was reading that Scripture, here's what came to my mind. Where the mind goes, the heart follows. Where the mind goes, the heart follows. So if we put filth in our mind, guess what's going to come out of our heart and our lives? Filth. And it makes me so sad when it is. Sometimes you're just watching. Cheryl and I, we have to resort to watching stuff from 20, 40, 50 years ago on TV because we watch Andy Griffith. That's how we go to bed at night. We watch little Andy Griffith. Barney drives my wife nuts. But even when you're watching something innocent, it's like I may be stepping on some toes. There's a series I've never watched. I just see the advertising name called Teachers. And I was just, one of their little commercials flew by last night, and I was like, what a filthy commercial. I mean, it's just like, you filth is just everywhere. And we have to be intentional about blocking out that stuff in our lives, in our minds. Because the enemy wants to put that stuff in there. Continually put godly things in your mind. Where the mind goes, the heart follows. Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians. Take captive. And I was thinking about that passage. It's like if someone, an intruder, comes into your home, you know, take them captive. Bind them up. Stop that intruder from being in your home. And that's what, it's the same way in our mind, in our thoughts. If something comes into our mind that we know is not pleasing to God, for it may come out of nowhere, take it captive for the sake of Christ. Good friend right here in the church, I won't mention his name because I don't have permission, but I may be getting this saying wrong a little bit, but they can correct me later. But it says, he said that you can't keep a bird from flying through the barn, but you don't have to build him a nest. Let that, so Don, I'll say that again slow for you, Don, okay? You can't keep a bird from flying through the barn, but you don't have to build him a nest. Thoughts fleet through our minds, and some of them are not godly, but we don't have to entertain those thoughts. We don't have to indulge those thoughts. Take them captive, bind them up for the sake of Christ. See to it, Colossians 2:8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. So we have this, you know, again, that goes back to this battle of God versus Satan for our minds. And the difference between God and Satan, Satan is deceitful, and he tries to worm his way into our mind. Christ invites himself. He wants us to invite him into our mind. He doesn't overtake us. He is ready to be invited in. I stand at the door. Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. You open up your door and I will come and I will dine with you. I will make my home with you. That's the God that we serve. Continually put godly things in our mind. And secondly, get into God's Word. Get into God's Word. You know, I'll just tell you, and I'm not speaking just of this church. I'm speaking of our nation and Christians everywhere. We are a biblically illiterate people. We just are. I don't say that to heap shame on anyone who doesn't read the Bible. I'm just telling you, how can we know the heart of God if we don't read the Word of God? I want to say that again. How can we know the heart of God and the mind of God if we don't read the Word of God? What a precious gift. And I've preached on the Word of how it got into our hands. This cost thousands of people's lives so that you and I could have this in our hands. I mean, there's been people burned at the stake using Bibles that they had written as kindling. They stacked the Bibles around them and they set them on fire because they didn't want the Word of God in the hands of the people. This is a precious Word. And we don't know it. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." How do we renew our mind? Get into God's Word. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us through His Word. That's John Wesley said it this way, that the Word of God is inspired twice. It was inspired when it was written, and it's inspired again when we read it. That we invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to come off the page. It's a living and breathing Word. To come off the page and penetrate our minds and our hearts. 2 Timothy, this is Paul. He's coming to the end of his life, and Timothy is his protege. And he says this, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God is God-breathed. Don't you love that? I love that translation. God inspired, God breathed. It's like God breathed His Word so that it could sit on our shelf and collect dust. No, he breathed His Word so that He could transform our minds and our hearts. If we want to make Jesus Lord of our thoughts, we have to know His Word, get in His Word. Just start little. And I tell people, if you're more mature in your faith, it's fine to start in the front of the Bible and just read through. And you know, a lot of people do that, read the Bible in a year or whatever. And that's fine. But if you're new in the faith, I advise you to start in one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Start in one of the Gospels in the New Testament and just read the Gospel. It's a great place to start. Thirdly, if we want to make Jesus Lord of our thoughts, hang with God's people. Now here, hang with God's people. I want to, Alan, you got to go one more screen on that to get the point up there. I'm sorry, I've got it kind of different for you today. So hang with God's people. Now I want to say this about God's people. We're all a work in progress. In case, if you're coming to Wiley Methodist Church looking for perfect people, I would say I'd send you to another church, but there isn't one. We're just all a work in progress, including your pastor. So sometimes we disappoint each other. That's just what people do. Sometimes we just do that, hurt somebody's feelings or say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. We don't mean to most of the time. It just, we're people, knuckleheads. I'm a knucklehead, okay? I tell you what, y'all are a great group of knuckleheads to hang with. We are the body of Christ. And if you ever had something little like a little cut on your index finger, and it's like it's a little bitty little paper cut or something. But dadgum, you can't even hardly button your shirt. You ever done that? It's like, man, that's just a stupid little paper cut on my finger, but I can hardly even put my shirt on. Because that finger's important. That toe's important. All the little components of our body is important. That's what God is trying to teach us, that we are the body of Christ, and each part has significance, and we form one body. So it is with Christ. Hang with God's people. You know, it's just community, and I'm not trying to shift over on that. This is not selling community groups, but I'm just telling you, Sunday school classes and community groups are vital to our growth as Christians. It just is, because that's where we connect. That's where we get to know one another. That's where we laugh together and cry together and have fun together and all the components of being a people. So hang with God's people if we want to have Jesus Lord of our thoughts. And fourth thing, pray for wisdom and discernment for truth. You know, this, as I've said earlier, this world, man, if we want stuff that's not true, we don't have to try for that. It's coming at us all the time. Trying to convince us that the way to happiness and peace is through all this stuff, the things of the world. And I've tried some of those things, and I know many of you have tried some of those things, and I could get lots of testimonies. That's not the answer. The things of this world that the enemy would try to entice us with is not the way to peace and joy and happiness and contentment. It's just not. So pray for wisdom and discernment for truth. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple. What is he saying? If you hold to my teachings, God's word, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Freedom in Christ. I'll tell you, when you come into a full relationship with Christ, and when you really try to make him Lord of your life, it sets you free. It's not this, the bondage comes from the ways of the enemy, the ways of the world. That's where the bondage comes, because he entices you into this behavior that's not godly, and then he heaps shame on you. Can I get away? Anybody ever been there? He entices you. The enemy entices you. Oh, you need to go to that web page. You're going to like that web page. Go do that. Go watch that movie. Listen to that song. Hang out with those people. It's going to be great. And then as soon as you do that and you know that it's not pleasing to God, here comes the shame. Shame does not come from God. Conviction comes from God. He will convict us that we are not walking with him. But shame comes from the enemy. And it is bondage. Freedom comes from Christ. And so, man, our minds, there's a book, I think it's, Battlefield of the Mind, what's Joyce Meyer. Great if you know, she ministers mostly to women, but her stuff is good for anybody. Battlefield of the Mind. And this is what she's talking about in that book, is it is a battle. So if you'd just bow your heads with me. Father, I thank you that you are truth. And we don't have to look for truth. All we have to do is press into you. Because Jesus, you are truth. Help us, Lord. Give us a hunger for you. Give us a hunger to put godly things in our mind, to get into your word, to hang with your people, and to seek wisdom and discernment. Make us a hungry people for you, O Lord. Protect us from the evil one. It's even in the prayer you taught us. Protect us from the evil one. Because he doesn't want good. He wants us in bondage. You want us to be set free. Teach us how, O Lord. May you be Lord of our thoughts as we enter into this new year. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If our praise team will come, as we close this morning, if anybody would like to pray, and Billy and I will be here available after the service. If you would like to pray as we close this song, if you'd like to talk to me about Jesus or about our church, anything at all, I will be available. Let's stand as we close. Again, Billy and I will be down front if anybody would like to pray after the service. Also, you can see Billy if you still are interested in a community group. He can get you fixed up with that. Jesus said, I am the way and the, say it with me, truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We have the truth in Jesus Christ. Go and tell someone. God bless you. We are dismissed.